to John chapter 17. That's one of our verses in our prayer journal, our prayer guide. Talking about water that is life. Water that is life. Jesus taught us using water. He used things in parables, didn't he? He used examples that from the everyday and taught us out of those familiar things. Water was one of those things. So let's stand together, and I know you just sat down, right? But we always stand. We want to teach our kids and each other to honor and respect God's word for the powerful, valuable treasure that it is to us. So let's read together our verse today. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking clearly, plainly to us of things too great and glorious for us to otherwise understand. How could we even think to understand that God, the Son, would come and dwell with us, and that you'd send God, the Spirit, to come and dwell in us? Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Teach us, Holy Spirit, today. Our hearts are just willing. We're listening. And we thank you for what you're going to bring for us today that will just apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, as we've said already, the first thing to note that when Jesus is talking about the living water, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's pretty clear. I don't think he could make it any clearer. John, the writer, said, by this, the living water that will flow from within them, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So what's that later? Yeah, that's Pentecost Sunday. Because to that time, Jesus said, the Spirit had not yet been given. Was the Spirit active on earth? Was the Spirit actually doing things on earth at that point in time? Yeah. All the way back to the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was still active and engaging with people and with men and women, and he was here, but he had not yet been given in the way that he was going to be given. Why? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so, as somebody said, yeah, Pentecost was the day that the Spirit was given. Pentecost, the word literally means 50 days. Pentecost means 50 days. And it was 50 days from the Passover, the Jewish celebration of the Passover, to where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And the church was empowered. The church was then, as Jesus said, going to receive power to be witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. That was when they were empowered. Without Pentecost, there would be no church, and it would have all just faded away. But God knew he needed to send the Spirit of God to empower us to do what needed to be done. And interesting, just the Pentecost, the Old Testament feast was the feast of the first fruits, right? The feast of the harvest. Wasn't that interesting that the first The giving of the Holy Spirit was at the celebration of the harvest, when they would celebrate the harvest of the actual crops that they would plant. Well, this was the harvest of the first harvest of souls for the church. Thousands come to faith that day in the first harvest, which is awesome. So, living water equals the Holy Spirit. But there's more to learn from this. More to learn from this parable, this idea that he used water to represent. Why didn't he use air? Why didn't he use a plant? He could have used all kinds of things. He used water because there's some interesting things about water. First, water that's flowing is alive. Water that's moving is healthy. It cleanses. It purifies things. It's good for what it passes through and over. Now, if you were going to take a drink of water, if you're wandering out around in the woods, which would you rather take a drink out of? Water that's stagnant and just sitting there can look like that. But water that's flowing and is always moving, that's pure. It's clean water. And water needs to be moving. It has to flow to be good. Another example of water that doesn't go anywhere, and this was right smack in the middle of Israel and the Middle East, and that is the Dead Sea. Interesting, it is the Earth's lowest elevation. This is the lowest surface place on the Earth. Of course, the ocean goes lower, but as far as where the water stops and you have surface land, it is the lowest place on Earth. But so what happens to the lowest place? Water flows in, right? Does water flow out of the lowest place? No, it just sits there. And there's all kinds of sedimentation, which this young lady was happy enough to show us. For some reason, it's a thing. There was pictures of people that would just take the Dead Sea mud at the bottom and cover themselves with it. I don't know why. It must be a bucket list thing. I have no idea. But as far as the water is concerned, it's so salty that if you drank it and just kept drinking it, you would die of dehydration. It would dehydrate you from the inside out. It's so salty. That's what happens when from water that doesn't flow through. It just sits there. It's kind of good for floating in because you literally cannot sink in it. You can try, but you have to have equipment to make yourself sink. So it's great for sitting there reading the paper while you're floating around. But you know what? Living water doesn't sit there and float around. We could sit there and float around and do nothing. But that's not what God intended for us, is it? No, he didn't intend us to float around and just read the paper. Flowing water brings life. This verse in Isaiah, where Jesus was taking some of his prophetic words from, says, "For I will pour water on a thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in the meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams." Water brings life. Do we look at our nation and sometimes wonder if we don't look more like the shores of the Dead Sea than we do the shores of a flowing river? You know? Dry, barren, without good fruit. Our nation is thirsty for answers. Our nation is thirsty for truth that points them to hope. Our nation's desperate for that. And Jesus said in this verse that we're looking at in John that whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Will flow from within them. This, our nation, is thirsty for people. Bless you. It's thirsty for people that are living their faith, not just talking about it, not just showing up on Sunday, but taking this and making it my life. They are thirsty, desperate, because they've gotten everything but. We've got celebrities and talk show hosts and pundits, and everybody under the sun's got an opinion on why we are the way we are and what we need to do to fix ourselves. And I'm not trying to simplify and make a simplistic answer, because there's many, many issues that have brought us to this place of so many people, young people dying in schools, violence in our streets, brokenness in our homes, and so forth. I'm not going to go through the list. I'm not telling you something you don't see all around you. But at the heart of these problems, aside from just the nature of our broken world, is a world that is walking further and further from the truth, further and further from the Creator, from their Creator. And without that close walk with God, we walk without hope and direction. This world is thirsty for fathers who are living their faith and leading what they believe in their homes, in their communities, in their churches, in their workplaces. This world is desperately hungry for a younger generation that is going to be, are going to be world changers, are going to say, things need to change. There's a reason, I love the idealism of a younger generation, because they're willing to sacrifice for their ideals. We get older, and you know what we do? We can be willing to compromise instead of sacrifice. And the younger generation, they'll say, I'll go out and do something. I'm going to do something to change this world. This world is desperate for that generation to do just that through His Word. This is where belief and faith equal the Holy Spirit flowing. The Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, this Word said, grass will grow, trees will grow. Where God's people thrive, then there is, you begin to find the fruits. What are the fruits of the Spirit? You begin to find love, joy, peace, patience with one another, kindness towards one another, goodness in what we do, gentleness in how we treat those that are broken and hurting, self-control. I don't just react and blow up. I have control. I probably missed one. I start talking and I lose the list. Those are the things that will begin to be springing up and growing besides these flowing streams of God's Spirit. You know what else is birthed out of the Holy Spirit? Vision. Vision. Vision, not from here, from there. Somebody says, you know what I think we should do? We need to reach this group of people. Those are some hurting people there. We need to minister to them. Pastor, can we do that? Yeah. God's laid that on your heart, then let's go do it. Vision comes out of the Spirit flowing. But you know, the Spirit flows in different ways too. Sometimes it's sprinkled water. Sometimes the Holy Spirit sprinkles gently, tenderly toward the weak, softly on the hurting and the broken. This wonderful verse that Jesus said, a bruised reed it will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. His desire is not to say, come on, get going. Sometimes he comes alongside and says, I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to strengthen you. In fact, sometimes I'm just going to sit here with you. And we're just going to spend some time together while you heal. So let me minister to you. God ministers sometimes tenderly. He sprinkles his spirit when sprinkling is needed. Do you know somebody maybe in your life that you wanted to turn the hose on full blast? Come on, will you get going? Why don't you do this? How come you're not stepping up to that? You know. And God says, no. That's not what he needs right now. All you're going to do is, did you ever water a garden like that? Turn the hose on full blast. There go all the seeds and everything. Plants go flying. Sometimes you just need to do it gently and let them get roots and let them find healing and begin to put their roots down so that when the storms do blow, they've started to get strong. Why? Because you've given them the needed measure. Not too much, not too little either. How do we find out how to do that? The living water, the Spirit. God, how do I love this person? Because they're driving me kind of crazy right now. God, how do I help this person? I don't know what they need. Holy Spirit, would you lead me? I'm going to wait until I hear from you. And then expect that the Spirit of God will speak. Those people that are in my forming group are learning that, and we've learned that. We learn to wait and listen to the Spirit of God and hear his voice. On that last and greatest day of the festival, our verse says, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Did Jesus come down hard on people sometimes? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were definitely times when he had to come down hard, but it was the proud. It was the self-righteous. It was the ones that kind of feel like they got it all together. Those are the ones that sometimes he had to come down hard on and say, oh, you think you know what you're talking about, but you're nothing but a whitewashed tomb. There's nothing but dead men's bones and wickedness inside of you. If you would just open your heart and let me come through and let the living water do what it does, which is what? It cleanses, it purifies, it washes all the dirtiness and selfishness of a heart that's not open to God. Sometimes it's sprinkled, and the bruised gets healing. The broken find restoration. And sometimes those broken people are right under our noses. They could be right in our own homes, sitting at the desk next to us, person across the line from us that sits there and cusses like a sailor and is always mean and nasty to people, and we don't realize that that's just a broken person that needs the love of Christ. Could we pray that prayer, Holy Spirit, that there's somebody in my life, just put your finger on them in my mind right now and give me wisdom to know if I need to just sprinkle some of the Spirit of love on that person. Let him put his finger on somebody in your life right now. And he will. Well, there's one other way that we can learn something about how Jesus taught about water, and that is about gathered water. There is great power in gathering, great power in unity and in working together. But the funny thing about gathered water is that it oftentimes starts small. You know? Can you see? I hope you can see this here. That's literally the Mississippi River. That is the Mississippi River. Now over here, everybody knows where the Red Run Drain is in Warren, right? At this point, the Mississippi River is smaller than the Red Run Drain. That's interesting, isn't it? Gathered power, gathered waters often start small. The Red Run Drain is a watershed. You know where it goes? It just kind of goes out and disperses, and it really doesn't go anywhere. It goes, I think, off towards Ann Arbor or something like that. And it just kind of disperses and disappears. Whereas the Mississippi, it's a tributary. It joins together with other tributaries, and other things join it. And then, little by little, the Mississippi becomes a mighty river. We can go to the next slide. How many people have crossed the Mississippi? It's an amazing river. It's huge. It's like driving over a lake, but it's a river. It's flowing river. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, what kind of water? Well, how did he describe that living water? He said, who said that? River. Yeah, river. It was a river. He said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. We're meant to gather into a river. The body of Christ. Okay, we're all tributaries that are supposed to gather into make this mighty, powerful river of living water that flows. Now, Jesus talked about streams of life, but we're all streams. The thing is, am I going to be like the Red Run River that just I'm winding out through the city and eventually I just disperse into the landscape all by myself? Or am I a tributary that connects with the body and I become something far, far greater than I am? Jesus said he would build his church, right? And the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Rivers are powerful. Rivers are powerful. They can cut paths. They can break through rock. There's tremendous power. And when the Spirit of God moves amongst his gathered people, it's powerful. It's powerful. Gathered water. And another example of how gathered water is so powerful is the idea of a dam. A dam is just gathered water that focuses its power. It's controlled, isn't it? It's not just, I mean, think about that. If that dam, they just kind of blew up the dam, what would happen to that water? It would just wipe out everything in its path. No, the church is controlled power. We gather, we have great strength and power together, and God uses us in creative and focused ways to minister to whatever's downstream, right? That's what water does. It brings life. And the body of Christ is gathered water of the Holy Spirit. Living water will flow from within you or flow from within them. He used the plural, didn't he? Yep, he said, and living the Holy Spirit, living water will flow from within them. The them is a together. Jesus did that quite intentionally, quite purposefully. We are to be united, cooperating, working, serving together. The church is strong. There's nothing more powerful than seeing the church, the body of Christ, when it's functioning as everybody's working, they're loving one another, they're building each other up. There's no better place to be when the church is just the way it's supposed to. It's awesome. That's what Jesus intended. And that we see that so much in this church. I'm so proud to be a part of this family because I see that more and more and more as we become a church strong, effective together, serving together, loving one another. And I want to encourage you, find your ministry here. Find your place here. Come alongside something that's already happening. Let the Holy Spirit point something out to say, you know, I should do that. Some of our young people that started rebirthing our youth ministry, they came to me. I didn't go chase them down. I'm working here over during the week, and all of a sudden I'm hearing, what's that noise? Look out the window. There's Marco out there washing windows, doing his thing. I'm like, oh, thanks, Mark. Yeah, I just wanted to get ready for Sunday. I'm like, nobody told him to do that. He just had a heart to serve. You know, don't wait. Just pray. Say, Lord, how would you want to use me? I want to be part of this gathered, Holy Spirit-filled body of Christ that's serving. Gathered water also prays together. That power, that focused power, has everything to do with prayer as well. We have our Connect group on Wednesday morning. There's 8 to 12 people that gather every Wednesday, and we pray faithfully for a lot of the problems and struggles that you guys are going through when we're aware of them. Our house of prayer on Wednesday night, there's a faithful group of about 4 to 6 or 7 people that faithfully pray. Is that all the gathered water that we can muster on a Wednesday night for an hour? I bet not. But the more the body gathers, the more power there is in that gathered prayer and that gathered people. It's a powerful time. What did we learn in the video? The part that prayer plays in spiritual renewal. Gathered prayer. Gathered prayer flowing into our communities, flowing into our neighborhoods, flowing into our families, flowing into our schools. Powerful stuff. So if you're thirsty for more than maybe drops or streams or trickles, and you want to see the power of God moving and pouring out into your community, your family, your nation, your church, then jot down in your faith journal, Lord, how do you want me to gather? How do you want me to find and seek more of the living water of your Spirit in my life? Ask him. I will assure you, he will answer. And you'll begin to see the power of God and the Holy Spirit, that living water working in your life. That's your promise. It's there for you. That living water. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, Jesus said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Amen? That's your promise. It's yours. All you need to do is believe and seek after the promiser. Well, we're going to take a minute and dismiss in prayer for our luncheon with our Detroit Brethren church family over there. I'm really looking forward to it. There'll be tons of good food and good fellowship. I encourage you, speak to people and get to know some new friends. They're wonderful people, wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. And it'll be a wonderful time together. Let's take a minute and pray, and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you so much for your word that so powerful, and we don't even know beyond the surface of it. We say, yeah, Lord, Holy Spirit, living water in me. And when we begin to walk in that, how that can change our lives when we just begin to seek it, we don't have a clue how life-transforming that is. But we're ready. We want to see you move in us. We want to just have your spirit. I don't know what. Only you know, Holy Spirit. And we want more of you. Holy Spirit, rain down on us, we sang that. So bless us today. Fill our hearts with faith and expectation that promise will be fulfilled in our lives today, tomorrow, this week, this month, and this year. We love you, Lord Jesus. Now bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. God bless you. Straight out the back doors and head on down. Make sure you get a name tag and put it big and bold on there so we can get to know our good new friends.